there and welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak. So glad to have you stop by and spend some time with me today. Today we are going to look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Easter. And I was, as I was reading these readings and praying about the topic, I thought, you know, it finally came to me, the title for this show, and I'm going to call it Victory Through Defeat. Victory Through Defeat. And it really illustrates the whole mission of Christ and how, as we are called to follow him, and as his disciples, we are called to follow him, we can achieve victory even when it seems like we may be defeated. And that's what the topic, I think it's a very uplifting concept. It's a very, it's something that can empower us and really make us not be afraid. And that's what we're going to talk about on the show today. I hope you're doing well. And I thank you for stopping by, spending a little time with me. We will, we're going to go through the Mass readings, and I'll give you a little bit more information, a couple of things I wanted to share with you after the prayer. So why don't we do this? Why don't we settle in? Why don't we place ourselves in the presence of God? Remember that we are with him right now. We are in his presence, and we're going to turn to him and present to him our needs. We're also going to thank him for all the blessings that he has given us. So if you'll join me, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us right now. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for adopting us as your children. Thank you for sending your Son into the world to redeem us. Father, thank you for providing for all of our needs from the moment we were first conceived right up to the present time. Father, if we did anything in any way to offend you, maybe we should have done something you wanted us to do, and maybe we did something you didn't want us to do, for any of those things, the times when we have failed you in any way and turned against you and chose what we want over what you wanted, for any of those times, we just say we're sorry and we ask you to please forgive us. We also ask you, Father, to help us to get to know you better. We ask you to help us be more willing to do the work of your Son, to continue the work of Jesus, even when it's difficult. Help us to always be willing to help other people, too. If somebody needs something around us, a family member, a friend, a coworker, a fellow student, help us to give us the strength and the desire to help them out. We pray for our country. We pray for our world. We pray for our church. We pray for all who have maybe forgotten you, Father, who have walked away from you. We pray for all those suffering from religious persecution. And we pray for the repose of the soul of Pope Francis and all the souls in purgatory. And we pray that you'll give me the words today on the program, that you'll give me the words that I'm supposed to share. I know you have a message for us. Please guide me. Let me know what the message should be. And please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. You know, I don't remember. We haven't been with you for a week. And I don't remember if last week I touched on the death of Pope Francis. You know, I do pre-record these shows a few days in advance, so sometimes it gets a little unclear to me. But that's big news in the church, and we continue. If by the time you're listening to this, we do not have a new pope, then we pray for the wisdom for the cardinals making the selection of a new Holy Father, that they'll really follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, so that the pope that the Lord wants us to have will be elected. There is some human weakness involved in that whole process, or imperfection. We are human beings. We try as Christians to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't force us to do anything. But I'm confident that even if it, and I don't really want to spend a lot of time on this because that's not the focus of the show, but even if, for instance, all of the cardinals misheard the message and selected, they came up with the wrong pope, the Lord can still bring good out of it. We just got to trust that he will work through the pontificate of whoever is selected as the Holy Father. But certainly, we want to pray for those making the election, those cardinals who are deciding on our new Holy Father, that they'll do the right thing, that they will make the right choice. Certainly would be a lot easier. But, you know, ultimately, as with is the case with our own lives, and we are trying to do God's will, there's always the possibility we'll get it wrong and we'll do the wrong thing. God can always bring good out of that. And with the election of a pope, the Holy Spirit is operating in a bigger and more formal way than the Spirit operates with you and I. You know, I've got the Spirit living in me, guiding me. But when you have the College of Cardinals together and the Spirit is guiding them, it's a whole different story. That's a whole new level of Holy Spirit involvement. So my bottom line message to you is, let not your heart be troubled. God is bigger than any mistake that any of us can make. But can't hurt to pray, especially when it's such an important thing, such as the election of the Pope. And if it turns out, and I have a feeling there's a good chance it will turn out that we will, by the time you hear this program, because it does air on the radio stations, in addition to the podcast, it airs on different days, depending on what market you're listening to. We may have a Pope by the time you hear this, then pray for the Pope, because he's got a big job, and that's something that the Church encourages us to do, to pray for the Pope every day. All right, said more about that than I planned to say, but I thought it would be foolish if I didn't say anything. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. I hope you're doing well. It's always a pleasure to come to you. I come to you once each week on this program. And this week, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Easter. Also, yes, that's the other thing I wanted to mention before I start the readings. Followingthetruth.com is my website. And over this past week, I did my annual fundraiser for my full-time ministry. And I sent it out to those who get my daily Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled email reflection. I only do it once each year. And it's something that I really need to do to sustain my ministry. So maybe if you don't get the daily email reflection and you would like to support my work financially, I would really appreciate it, because it's been quite a year with medical costs and house issues and car issues. It's been a tough year financially, but I believe that the Lord will provide. He always has. 13 years of full-time ministry. He's gotten us by. He'll provide through people like you, who, if you believe in my work, I'm going to ask you to consider, please, if you can, visiting followingthetruth.com and making a donation, either a one-time donation or becoming a monthly sponsor. You can do that by visiting followingthetruth.com, and I would really encourage you. It's the only way I'm able to do this program and do my daily email reflection and really to sustain my ministry is with your help. So if you would be kind enough to consider that, I would be very grateful. Followingthetruth.com. All right, let's look at these readings now. As we do each week on the show, we're going to start in reverse order. We'll lead with the gospel. And again, the theme will be victory through defeat. This is a classic gospel passage. And it's a little bit lengthier. It's the last chapter of John's gospel, John 21. Verse 1 through 19. Let me read it. We'll talk about it, and then I'll do the other readings. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I'm going to pause it right there for a minute. What we see is this is after the resurrection of Jesus. The apostles, they were kind of confused, and they didn't know what to do with themselves. You know, they had been involved with Jesus, following him, ministering on his behalf for 3 years, approximately. And Now he died and rose from the dead, and they're kind of not sure what to do with themselves. So they go back to what they knew best. They go back to fishing. But the first night they went out, it was not successful. They caught nothing. All right, now that's where the story, where I paused the story. Let's pick it up now. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and he jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. I was thinking if I wanted to pause it here. I do. So what happened is they're out fishing. They're thinking they're doing the Lord's will. They don't really know what they're supposed to be doing. They go back to what they know best. And note that Jesus found them. He found them. He sought them out because he was going to come to their assistance and also give them a new mission, really give them a purpose in their lives. They had a defeat. The defeat was they caught no fish. But they did it without Jesus. Now, when he comes back on the scene, on the shore, they don't recognize him at first. And I think so many times we're the same way. We don't recognize the presence of Jesus in the ordinary duties of our lives, right? It happens all the time. But then they did recognize him. And then once they recognized him, he gave them advice about casting the net on the other side of the boat, and they catch a bunch of fish. That shows the difference of working without Jesus and with Jesus. So now they're very successful. But at this point in time, they're still fishermen again, right? Now watch what happens. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged a net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over, took the bread, gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to the disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now, there is so much going on in this gospel reading, and I can't possibly explain it all. I just don't have the time. So I want to point out a few things. One of the commentaries I read, and I honestly forget who said this, but it was a really good point. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" The comment was made, and it could have been one of the early church fathers. I honestly don't remember, but it's such a good point that I have to mention it. When you read that, it sounds like Jesus is saying to Peter, "Do you love me more than these other disciples, these other fishermen?" But the person writing the commentary that I read said it wouldn't be like Jesus to ask Peter, to single out Peter, saying, "Do you love me more than your fellow workers, your fellow apostles, your fellow fishermen?" it wouldn't seem appropriate, but it would make more sense, especially with what Jesus would say afterward, that Jesus was gesturing to the fish, the big catch of fish that Peter just hauled in, pointing to them and saying, Simon, do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than your occupation? Do you love me more than your old way of life? And Jesus said, and Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then what Jesus went on to do was give Peter a new mission. Well, go out, feed my lambs, lead my flock, you know, as the first pope. And then he goes on to Peter and says to Peter, foreshadowing the death that Peter would face as a martyr, when you were younger, you did what you wanted. But when you're older now, you're going to go somewhere. You're going to be asked to go somewhere where you do not want to go. And then Jesus said, follow me, giving Peter his mission as the head of the church, the first pope, the leader of the apostles, and pointing to his ultimate martyrdom. And I think that's incredibly powerful. So we see the defeat of not catching any fish early in this gospel passage. Then Jesus comes on the scene. They catch a ton of fish. And then Jesus says to Peter, sort of explains basically, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you love me, if I'm more important to you than fishing, I'm going to ask you to do something you may not want to do. I need you to go lead my church. It's going to cost you your life and much suffering, but I'm asking you to do this. And I'm going to ask you, Jesus says to Peter, to follow me. And you know, as Christians, really that's the choice we all have to face in life. Are we going to really follow Jesus where he leads, even if it might involve trials, maybe sickness, defeat, financial struggles? Is he more important than those other things? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to follow Jesus even when it means being defeated, suffering? In the eyes of the world, the mission of Christ looked like a failure, but it wasn't. That's the paradox of Christianity. Victory through defeat. But each one of us has a choice. We don't have to follow Jesus. We can be Christians in name only. But what he's calling us all to do is to follow him, even when it may involve a defeat, according to the eyes of the world, because ultimately it will lead to victory in the eyes of the Lord. And will eventually, if we continue to follow him, lead us right to heaven, where we will live and reign with the Lord for all eternity. It's kind of a difficult proposition sometimes, but if we're going to follow Christ, he's really asking us to do it all the way, especially when it's not easy. Let's look at the first reading. You'll see part of that same theme in this first reading, actually the Apostles chapter 5, beginning in verse 27, when the captain and the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Of course, that's the name of Jesus. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. See, Peter's living out that mission given to him, offered to him by Jesus in the gospel we just read. And Peter goes on to say, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as a leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of those things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. See, they were embracing their supposed defeat by the authorities because they were working in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to tell you this is easy. It's not easy. But as a Christian, I'm called to do this. It's going to look different to each one of us. You know, I'm doing my full-time ministry. You have calls to do other things. You know, I also try to take care of my family. And I have my own responsibilities because of where the Lord has placed me. He's given me a wife. He's given me children. And I'm responsible to care for them, as well as other family members, friends, you know, people that need me, people that depend on me. This show that I do is part of what I believe the Lord is calling me to do. It's not always easy. If you knew what I had to go through to get this one finished today, it was very difficult. My wife's been having some physical problems with her back. I mean, really, really bad stuff. And one of my daughters is sick. You know, we had to go through some stuff to try to find the time, because I record this at home, to be able to do this. But I believe it's what I'm supposed to do. And it's not always easy. But that's the way it is for us. Are we going to do what we want? Or as Christians, are we really going to follow Jesus? The responsorial psalm, Psalm 30, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear and did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from those going down into the pit, from among those going down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones. Give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing, O Lord. My God, forever I will give you thanks. I'll praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. It might not look like a rescue all the time. It might look like a defeat. You know, you look at the crucifix and you think, like, where was the victory there? Well, you had to wait 3 days to see the victory when Jesus rose from the dead. And that's the way it looks a lot of times in our lives. So many things that may be defeats, things that we thought were going to be successful but turn out not to be successful. In the eyes of the Lord, they're victories. And really, you know, ultimately, as a follower of Jesus Christ, what the Lord is looking for from me is love and desire. He wants me to love him, to show my love for him by not only loving him, but by loving those around me and making expressions of love by my words, by my actions. Sometimes they appear to be failures, but in his eyes, he's looking for that internal desire in me. He wants me to love him. He doesn't need me to be successful for him. And that's hard to understand sometimes. God doesn't need my help, really. He wants it. You know, he could make things happen without me. If I were to die tomorrow, the Lord could continue my work somehow, using other people. But he chooses to use me, you know, because he cares. He wants me to say, Lord, I love you, and I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to take care of this person. I'm going to be kind to this other person. I'm going to help somebody. In my case, I'm going to write. I'm going to speak, whatever it is. He's looking for our desire, not necessarily for our success. He wants our hearts, right? That's what he's looking for. Because that's what love is. He loves us with an unconditional love, and he wants us to love him in return. Second reading, Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in number, and they cried out in the Lord's voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe cry out, To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever. The four living creatures answered, Amen. and the elders fell down and worshiped. You know, you and I, we can't see the invisible kingdom of God. We just can't. So everything going on in heaven, you and I are really unable to see. But this imagery, when we look at the book of Revelation, reveals that Jesus was victorious on the cross. The Lamb was slain. It looked like Jesus was defeated, but he wasn't. He gave up his life out of love because it was the will of the Father that Jesus sacrifice himself so that we could be reunited or reconciled with the Father. That's a big thing. So again, that theme, I just see this throughout all the readings. What appears to be defeat in the eyes of the world is often victory in the eyes of God. Don't be afraid to suffer. Don't be afraid to fall. Don't be afraid to stumble. Don't be afraid to be defeated. As long as you're doing it out of love for God, you think it's what God wants you to do, and you're going to try it. I have failed at a number of things that I tried to do, especially in my full-time ministry. It's happened many times. What the Lord was really looking for was my desire. I was doing it to try to help him. I was doing it to show him I loved him. It's okay. Don't be afraid to fall or to fail, because what often looks like defeat to the eyes of the world is actually a victory in the eyes of the Lord. Well, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to the program. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And again, if you're able to send along a donation to help me continue my ministry, you can just go to followingthetruth.com and make that donation securely through PayPal. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. God willing, we're going to do this again next week. I hope you'll be able to join me. In the meantime, have a fantastic week. God bless you. And yes, it's still the Easter season, so happy Easter. Bye-bye now.